You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. On this episode of Shotgun Sports, I have a guy that has been shooting clay targets since the age of 9. His love for the sport now has him working at Sandy Creek Sporting Grounds at Reynolds Lake Oconee as the chief instructor. He also travels the country shooting the Winchester Championship Tour, as well as every other big blast he has time for. Please welcome Jasper Copeland. Welcome to the show, Jasper. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on with me. You're a young shooter who has been fairly successful the past couple of years, and I want to get into all of that in the episode. But first, why don't you tell people about yourself?
Yes, sir. So I'm Jasper Copeland. I'm from Eatonton, Georgia. I am, you know, lucky to be able to travel the country and shoot sporting clays. I am, you know, grew up here in Eatonton, where, you know, obviously Vinny Hancock, Olympic gold medalist, started shooting. So I kind of, you know.
Yeah, Vincent Hancock left his mark there for sure. So it's probably like you have to look up to him, so to speak.
Definitely, for sure.
Eatonton, now, Eatonton's out in the middle of nowhere, from what I can remember. I've been through Eatonton before.
Right, it is. So we're kind of right between Atlanta and Augusta in a way.
Jasper, when did you start shooting? Now, you had to have been shooting really young.
Right, so I have been. So I, you know, started hunting with my dad a little, you know, around 7 years old. I would, you know, say 7 to 8, somewhere in there, as far as, like, you know, dove hunting, things like that, you know, deer hunting, stuff like that. So I really didn't get into clay targets until I was like 9 or 10. You know, I actually ended up having an old gun club that's now shut down, the Lake Oconee Shooting Club, that, you know, Craig Hancock actually started along with another guy, Payne Hughes, and operated for a long time. It was actually right across the road from my house, so I could actually walk across the road and go shoot. So it's pretty convenient to get into it, and that's kind of how I got started.
Do you think that living across the street from a gun club as a kid helped you get better quicker?
You know, it did for me, at least. You know, at least, you know, kind of being at that age where you're in school, and I know I have a lot of friends, you know, their closest gun club's an hour away, you know, so it really worked out good for me. And, you know, my family has a dairy farm, so it's kind of one of those things I could, you know, wasn't really a set time, just whenever we had free time to go. And, you know, unfortunately, actually, it ended up closing down kind of right around that crunch in 08, 09, when everything got tough. So I only got to shoot there for about a year, but it was nice while it lasted, for sure.
You know, the first time I met you, someone told me that you were from a family of dairy farmers. Go into that a little bit and tell me what they do.
Right. So yeah. So we were fairly small. My you know, I would have been like the fourth generation, if you will. You know, my dad, my granddad, my great granddad were all into the dairy farming. We had Holsteins. You know, not anything big like you see in the dairies up north, but, you know, we had 100, 150 cows that we milked. It was kind of one of those things. You never get a day off. It's a full-time job for sure. You know, if we actually milk here at 3 and 3, so 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the morning, at 7 days a week, holidays and all, you know, so it's very busy. Very busy.
Yeah. Cows don't stop making milk. Jasper, you said you started shooting around the age of 9. Where was the first place you went to shoot competitively?
Right. So as far as practice and everything would have been there at Lake Oconee Shooting Club. You know, at first there I was kind of introduced by Dr. Sammy McFadden. He was actually, you know, with us having the dairy, he's a veterinarian. So he actually did all the work for my dad, and that's kind of how I got introduced to him. Just kind of a longtime family friend, and he ended up taking me with him to, I believe it would have been to the Lake Oconee Gun Club there in the beginning, and later on to Old Hudson. But yeah, I know he was with me when I shot my first registered shoot. It was actually at Cherokee Rose. That would have been in 2009, and it wasn't anything too serious there for the first, you know, 2 or 3 years. You know, I would shoot a close local shoot, or you know, I did shoot the state shoot, I think, for the first time in 2010, but I didn't travel very much, just mostly the youth shoots and, you know, like SCTP and things like that until I got into it a little more.
So how long was it before you actually shot a real NSCA registered shoot?
I would say, you know, really it was within that first 6 months. You know, I would have started in like January of 2009, and I would say by the middle of that summer, he kind of got me into it. It was just one of those, you know, weekend shoots that they had at Cherokee Rose. I can remember it was like it was yesterday in a way. I think I shot a 63. You know, not very good. Not very good.
Well, that's not really that bad for a kid, you know? Okay, let's jump forward several years. And in the past couple of years, really, I guess, what is it, 2 years now? I mean, you've really been on fire. I mean, it seems like when you go to look at the scorecard that you're always at the top. And I think that the first time I noticed that was in maybe San Antonio at the Nationals. I was like, wow, Jasper finished way at the top. Where'd you finish at that year in Nationals?
Right. So I believe that would have been in 19. So that was actually only my second time being able to shoot the Nationals. I did ended up, you know, I was tied for master second with Braxton and lost in a shoot off there. So I think I ended up master third.
And it seems like every time you look at the scorecard, your name's always towards the top. So back then you shot a 391 automatic and now you're shooting a Krieg off parkour. What has changed to make you shoot the way you're shooting now?
I think just a lot of things, maybe getting a little more experience. You know, that would have been right at that 10-year mark, which I know it took me a lot longer than it has some guys, but you know, I wasn't able to travel quite as much, you know, in those first couple of years. So I think kind of in combination with being able to travel, you know, shooting all the regionals and stuff like that was a big part of it, but also just being in it every day. So kind of for what I'm doing there at work, you know, I might not necessarily have lessons every day, but almost every day, just being in the game every day, you know, if I'm not giving lessons or shooting, you know, I'm driving around traps or, you know, at least thinking about it, if you will, you know, yeah. You know, whereas before being in school and, you know, working on other stuff, I kind of is my life now. So I think that's been a big help.
Tell everyone where you work and what you do.
Right. So I work for Reynolds Lake Oconee. We've got a sporting clays facility that we've just opened up here in 2017. You know, so Reynolds in the past has been more known for their real estate, obviously around the lake. And then, you know, a big golf community. We have 6 golf courses, you know, along with a lot of other amenities that you can do. We have a Ritz-Carlton that's on site. So, you know, kind of a big vacation area, if you will. But we actually did just add sporting here in 17. So, you know, very nice course in a way. I know some of you guys have heard of Justin Jones, actually came in and set it up for Reynolds. You know, and it's one of those things, it's not sporting clays like most everyone knows on here, more on the recreational side of, you know, we get a lot of shooters that have never touched a gun before. So you know, I give lessons, you know, nothing away like some of these other guys really seriously, but you know, you know, a lot of people through the hotel or even members here that have lived here for 20 plus years have never really been into into shooting. So pretty much every day I'm giving lessons, you know, on that side of the game, just kind of getting people into it, teaching them how to get started, if you will. You know, alongside of that, I set all the traps for us and, you know, things like that. So kind of wear a lot of hats, you know, as other guys. I think I remember you having Cody on here not too long ago to talk about, you know, when you work at a club like this, you wear a lot of hats for sure. Do a lot of different things.
Yeah. And Justin Jones has been around some pretty cool people, pretty interesting people as far as showing them how to shoot.
Right. He has. So.
I mean, you told me that he helped Queen Elizabeth shoot a gun.
So pretty cool guy for sure.
So these famous people and movie stars that he helped shoot, were they all at Reynolds Plantation?
Right. So a lot of these guys, and he can correct me if I'm wrong here, a lot of that was at, when he was at Glen Eagles. You know, I think some of that, you know, could have been at clubs over here, but, you know, we're lucky. We've actually had a few, you know, we've got a few guys like Lynn Swan that have bought property with us here. Pretty cool in the shot there. You know, along with having all the golf courses, some of the pro golfers and stuff like that come through. But yeah, we're lucky to have good many celebrities come through as well.
So when you started working here, that's when you had your chance to get out and start shooting, like really traveling around. So tell me how that works.
So, you know, it's one of those things with, and I know a lot of other guys are this way, kind of before I, you know, didn't have a lot of time that I could get away from home. You know, a lot of that just due to income, to be honest with you. So, you know, that got stepped up a little with being over there alongside of, you know, Reynolds actually being one of my main sponsors. They actually help, you know, get me to all these tournaments and, you know, get me going there. So I'm really lucky to have them support me so much, you know, mm-hmm. You know, just giving me that many days away along with, you know, really pushing me to get there has really been a big help. So, you know, those two things also just like, kind of like I mentioned earlier, just being in it every day, not that I necessarily shoot every day at times. You know, it was kind of the funny thing to me. I thought, you know, I'm at a gun club every day. I shoot all the time, but it's kind of strange. As far as practice targets, I don't shoot near as much as I used to be honest with you. But just being in it every day, I think really does help.
Talk about that for a minute, Jasper. If you're working all day, teaching people all day, when do you have time to practice?
You know, it's tough to be honest with you. I am, you know, so we're a little different than some clubs with our membership. We're open Tuesday through Saturday. So, you know, I'm kind of there, you know, at minimum 7 to 7 every day. So it's tough, but luckily, you know, I have quite a few students that allow me to shoot with them during a lesson, which I think sometimes really helps. But even though it's not that much, you know, so I'll do that. And then at times I've actually just kind of tried to book aside times. If I just have to do, you know, 2 hours here and there, you know, maybe once every couple weeks just to where I can make some time to go shoot. And I tell you, they're really good to me as far as going in on an off day or something like that to be able to practice. But, you know, I also go around to some of the other clubs and practice as well. So, you know, very lucky to have that support.
As far as the targets are concerned at Reynolds Plantation, I'm assuming they're set up pretty soft.
Right. So it's a good mix. So we're a little different just because we don't really throw any tournaments. We've actually got a 20-station course. So along with that 20-station course, we've got 4 or 5 stands. We're just sporting. We don't really have any skeet and trap. But yeah, so we're working on getting actually every station, you know, having 4 traps. So even though it's one course, we're going to be overlaid to where you have, you know, the one course that's softer for more of our corporate, you know, recreational type shooters, you know, whereas we'll have 2 other traps that are quite a bit tougher. You know, right now with it being 20 stations, you know, I would say it's kind of half and half. There's half that are kind of that novice to intermediate, and then the other half, I tell you, I think that's another thing that's really helped my shooting. You know, not that I'm stealing anything from anyone, but just going to all these shoots every weekend, you know, all over the country, I can kind of look at what they're doing at each shoot and, you know, see what I like as far as the way they throw targets. And especially if something gives me a problem, I can come back and, you know, set those. So I think as far as, you know, a place for other shooters to practice as well, it really helps just because I kind of travel to all those shoots and get to see those targets. I think targets are a lot different, you know, now at least than when I started, you know, so I can kind of keep up to date on what targets they're going to be throwing at shoots, if you know what I mean. Somewhat. You never know what they're going to throw exactly, but I really think that's helped.
Oh, I'm sure it's beneficial to come back and be able to practice that stuff. Tell me about the stock on your shotgun. Did you build your own stock?
Right. So, funny story. I've gone through a few stocks, and, I had a really bad hand injury in 2014 that's, you know, just about paralyzed my index finger on my right hand. So not that my dimensions are that far off, but I have played around with doing a little bit of the stocks. The stock I'm currently in right now is a Shirley Brothers stock. So I did do my pattern. You know, I carved it out, and you know, I obviously can't make it too pretty, but I did do that. You know, and Mr. Tommy actually duplicated it for me and did a really good job on it. I'm really happy with it. So it I did end up doing it there. But you know, I've done my brother's stock and a few other stocks here and there. So I've something to play around with. I enjoy it. Something to do. You know, when I'm not at the gun club.
You bring up your brother Aaron. He's also a very good shot. Now, do you shoot a lot with him?
He is. So I don't get to shoot with him quite as much. He's actually up at Emmanuel College. He shoots on their team, and you know, he's doing good with those guys. So he isn't in quite as much. But yeah, he kind of works for us part time on the weekends. So he's in and helps us out there. So if he's in, and a lot of the tournaments we'll end up shooting together too. So I do get to shoot with them quite a bit. It's, you know, it's nice to be able to practice with them and then end up going to shoot with them as well. It makes me, you know, a lot more comfortable in a way when I get there.
Jasper, there's got to be other reasons besides just swapping guns as to why you've improved as much as you have. What do you think that is other than the gun? Is it just, you know, being able to get out to the shoots?
You know, I'd say that's a lot of it. You know, another thing too, like I mentioned before, I had really good instruction from Mr. Sammy as a young kid. You know, when I first started, you know, as far as like basic stuff. But, you know, I think another thing too, you know, I went about, aside of working with Mr. Sammy, I went about 10 years there before I ever took a lesson. And I think maybe that's what held me back a little. You know, it's hard to say. Because it was kind of amazing to me, the first few that I took, it, you know, stuff that took me years to figure out on my own, someone, you know, in 2 hours could tell me very easily, you know. So I think that's a big part of it. And I know some guys are, you know, you need to take lessons from, you know, just one person and stay with them. And I can't really say, because I, you know, I've taken from quite a few different guys, and I think that each person I've gone to has really helped me, you know, in different areas, just because I think everybody does things so much differently. You know, you know, say this shooter shoots this target better, that target better, maybe one shooter more on the middle side has helped me here or there, you know? So I think it's a combination of being able to shoot a lot more, and I don't know, just using the resources that I've had, I think has been a big part of it. Even squadding with people at shoots, you know, that was that thing. I just kind of shot here locally, not that we didn't have great shooters around, but just didn't shoot with them quite as much. So when I got to travel a little more, you know, the more events I could shoot, the more I'd end up squadding at least near them. I could kind of watch what they were doing once I got there, you know. So I think that really helped as well.
And when did you start shooting SETP?
So that would have been in 2009.
Okay.
Right when I started that first year.
All right. And tell me about that. How did you like shooting SETP?
You know, I really enjoyed it. For me, it was one of those things, you know, the Lake Oconee shotgun team I was a part of was, you know, a big thing. Actually, Vinny shot on it when he was, you know, like in middle school and high school. We actually went to the same high school. But it was one of those things. I know it kind of, the SETP program kind of gets a bad rap for the targets just because they're not really even comparable to the NSCA targets. But, it, you know, I think it really teaches you how to compete in a way, at least for me, that I didn't necessarily have the funding to get to some of the bigger shoots, but luckily through the funding through the team and obviously with my parents, I ended up, you know, still shooting our state shooting the nationals every year. And even though I know the targets weren't the same, I guess the pressure in the environment, you know, when you're shooting with all your buddies, you know, that's as much pressure as anything. You know, you want to shoot better than them. So it, you know, I think it really helped me. I really do, you know, especially doing it for that long. I shot, you know, from 2009, really all the way through, I guess it would have been 16 to 17, somewhere right in there.
So did you shoot the 391 through SETP?
I did. I shot a 391.
Had a custom paint job on it.
It did. Had a unique one for sure.
Yeah. I bet you got a little flack about that some places, didn't
you? I sure did.
So what made you want to switch to that over and under?
You know, to be honest with you, I really do like the 391 in a way. I can't say that I might want to go back one day, even though I really like the gun that I'm shooting now. You know, to be honest with you, not that I ever had that many chances to shoot in it, but when I shot the U.S. Open in 17 at Big Red Oak, they had the PSCA qualifier there, and, you know, the first opportunity I really had ever had to do anything like that. And I think I missed the cut by one target. So I kind of decided the rest of that year I was going to go to the rest of the qualifiers and at least just try it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I did end up making one of them. And not that the gun was really that unreliable. I just, the way my hand is, I couldn't really, especially during the speed round, it was really hard for me to load fast, you know, with my hand that way. So to be honest with you, that's the biggest reason why I swapped. And, you know, I went to the rest of the shoots and practiced a lot with that. And, you know, it was kind of tough just because shooting that automatic for so long, you know, I shot it 8 to 10 years. So it, I had tried several over and unders in the past and just really never got on with them. You know, I couldn't really, I felt like I could shoot it well, but I just wasn't that confident with it. But something about that parkour, just really light in the front end, it felt a lot like that automatic in a way, you know, especially with the flat rib. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just kind of suited my style, if you will.
Go into what happened to your hand.
Yeah, so I, this would have been like in the summer of 14. I would have been 16 years old at the time, but I actually was on a tractor and unfortunately had a hydraulic line blowout that runs to one of the hydraulic valves on the tractor. It was kind of a freak accident. I had 6-8 foot of hose and just kind of one of those things. As soon as I touched, hit the valve on the tractor, it actually blew out, injected that fluid into my hand. So it was actually a pretty bad deal. I spent about a week in the hospital over it, and you know, it was actually really bad. I thought at one point I might actually lose that finger.
It shot. I'm sure the hydraulic fluid's hot. So it shot hot hydraulic fluid in your finger?
Right, it did. So right in the end of my index finger, actually. So that, you know, it was a bad deal. I actually ended up, you know, going to a local hospital and then got transported to another one in Augusta really fast because there was really a good chance of me losing that finger. And luckily, you know, I had surgery on it right away and they were able to remove it. You know, it did a lot of damage, but not to the point of where I can still use it now. I actually am back pulling the trigger with that finger. Actually, you know, from 14 through about 17, I actually had to pull the trigger with my middle finger. I just didn't have the strength in it and really the mobility either. So that was another reason swapping from the 391 to the over and under is actually the way I had to, you know, pull the trigger with my middle finger, the bolt would come back and hit me in my index finger, and I still had it in a cast and stitches and everything. So it was tough, but I ended up making it work and, you know, swapped. That was one of the main reasons for swapping guns. Yeah, kind of a freak accident. But anyone that knows me, that's kind of my luck at times.
Yeah. Sounds like you need to stay away from hydraulic fluid.
I'm telling you.
So
you just made me respect it.
Yeah. So in your coaching, with what you're doing, are you coaching any NSCA shooters at all?
Right. So a little bit. And like I said earlier, not so much. And a lot of these guys, you know, are just kind of getting into it just because in our community we haven't, you know, they never really shot sporting clays before, but you know, going on our third year, we've got quite a few more guys that are getting into it. You know, one guy I know, you know, not many guys have seen his name's John Paul Runyon. He's actually a doctor here that's local that has property here in Reynolds, and the guy's ate up with it. He shoots every day basically. So it's one of those things that really works out good for me with him living here, and you know, he shoots at least once a week with me. So that's a good one. Several other guys out of Old Hudson, you know, that shoot quite a bit as well. So I've, you know, I think it's really helped me in a way just because I hadn't given that many lessons, you know, until here recently in the last 2 or 3 years. I think it's really helped my shooting just going out with them and you know,
watching the
just seeing what to do, what not to do. That's right. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Go into some of your proudest moments in shooting.
Right. So, you know, you know, just being able to go, I know that sounds strange, but that's a big thing to me. I never would have thought, you know, growing up here on a dairy farm, just being able to travel the country, see all the different gun clubs, that's a big part of it, you know. But I guess, you know, with working pretty hard at it, I have been lucky enough. I had a couple good finishes there at Nationals that year that I was master third. That was my last year as a junior, so I did win the junior Nationals there for my last year. So you know, that was pretty big to me. And then here recently in 20, I won the in-state championship. So those two would definitely be my biggest two.
That's right. You did win Georgia State, didn't you?
Right.
And
yes, sir.
There were some heavy hitters there.
Yes, sir. So no, very, very fortunate to do it. I, you know, couldn't imagine the way looking up to these guys since, you know, breeder since I was little. I never would have imagined I would be able to brush shoulders with them, you know?
Yeah. So what do you enjoy shooting most, sporting, FETASC? What do you like the most?
You know, I like all of it. That was one of the things that I really liked in SETP, that you got to shoot all disciplines, and it seemed like, you know, that's kind of where my scores ended up best, when you combined all the events. That's why I really like some of the all-around events, you know, that some clubs are talking about doing. Primarily sporting and FETASC, especially with, you know, what we have at my club there. You know, it's just sporting, so that's mainly what I'm going to do. You know, I really enjoy the FETASC, you know, just something different in a way, you know. Yeah.
You just HOA'd the East Coast Championship FETASC as well, didn't you?
Right, so I did. Akita, I really, you know, I've shot that shoot the last couple of years, and know Braxton's a good buddy of mine, and always enjoy his targets, and Mr. Rick, that's one there. You know, I haven't seen that many targets from Braxton, but to be honest with you, I really enjoyed him. I know it always seems that way when you shoot the targets well, you like them, but I tell you, he really did a good job. I know Mr. Rick did the main the first day, and then Braxton did the main the second day along with the FETASC, and I really enjoyed it. Just that shoot as a whole, the whole environment of it, I really enjoy it. I'll definitely be back.
That brings up an interesting topic with Braxton and Rick setting separate courses. Go into the differences in the way they set targets.
I really enjoy Mr. Rick's targets. I like them both. And, you know, for me, the coolest thing with Mr. Rick is, you know, it's not normally a distance thing or a speed thing. He just really tricks you with angles, just stuff you don't normally see. A lot of times true pairs, you could shoot one way or the other, you know. Mm-hmm. Can kind of make you uncomfortable at times just on the angle of stuff, you know. That's really cool to me, just because, you know, to me at least, certain target setters kind of have that flavor. You know, they're going to throw more face, you know, more edge. But with Mr. Rick, you never know. That's kind of the cool thing. Every course you shoot at, his is a little bit different, which I think is really cool. You know, with Braxton, you know, the only thing I can say, it really wasn't a lot different. You know, he did some cool stuff, like with some, you know, with some Raboos, and you know, one on FETASC for me, I thought was cool. He, you know, threw a Batu that was skipping on the water. So, you know, both those guys just throwing different stuff that you don't normally get to see. You know, that's actually a really nice club. You know, a lot of different terrain they had to work with. So, you know, different ways they can throw them.
How did you do on the main event?
I shot 91 the first day, and then 96 the second. I actually, you know, I didn't get a chance to see Mr. Rick before I left, but I actually missed a 70, you know, about 15, 20 yards. You know, I actually missed it every time, never touched it. And that's kind of the thing with his targets. You never, you know, he can leave you standing there scratching your head, because it looked very simple, but obviously there was something that I didn't get.
Is there a certain method that you use most of the time, or is it, you use all of them like everybody normally says they do, or what do you do?
You know, I think so, and I think everybody does that to some degree. I think, kind of like you said, everyone has kind of a different style.
Right.
You know, with me kind of having the fixed choke lighter gun in the front end, that, you know, kind of that slower, smoother style, I try to, you know, try to move the gun pretty slow if I can, with as little movement as I can, you know. But, you know, like you say, some targets you're going to have to start from behind, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of that, maintain to pull away on almost all my shots, you know. So I think it's one of those things, just everybody does it a little differently, but you kind of all end up in the same place, you know.
When you go to a tournament and you encounter a target that you're having problems hitting, do you go back to your club and set that target and just practice it over and over again?
Right, so I do, and I think that's really, really helped my shooting in a way. You know, what I've found, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's only so many ways you can throw targets, and I felt like for a while there I was pretty bad about, you know, if I struggled on a certain target, I would obviously come back and practice it. What I find is, in practice, I wouldn't necessarily have that, you know, that much trouble with it. So, you know, I think the combination of maybe just a target making me uncomfortable, you know, I wasn't necessarily doing what I was supposed to, just because of the pressure of the shoot, you know, and kind of took a while to figure out. And I'm by no means mastered any of this, but, you know, at least gotten better from where I was.
Why do you think that is? What, I mean, I think everybody experiences that. Why do you think that when you're shooting some target that you're killing every time in practice, when you go to a shoot and you miss it? Well, I mean, you think it's just the pressure of the shoot?
You know, I would say so, and I know some of these other guys could probably answer it better than me, but with, you know, with my experience, it is that for sure. You know, I think a lot of shooting is confidence, and if if you're just a little less confident on some of those shots that are tricky, you maybe see the gun a little better than you should. You know, obviously when on certain shots, when you're looking at the gun too much, you're going to miss. And I think that whole element of just being a little careful instead of really just, you know, finishing your shot visually, it's hard not to when you want to hit the target. You know, if you really want to hit it, for me at least, I want to make sure at times and check the gun. And we all know that doesn't work, you know, but mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of it for sure.
I was shooting with Zach just the other day, and that was his main thing. You know, you got to see that shot. You got to visually see it. What, as far as squatting, when you go to a shoot, do you care what squad you're in? Does it help you to shoot better if you're with people you know, or does it matter?
You know, a lot of the traveling in the past year I've done by myself, you know, so I have squatted by myself. But, you know, that is one thing I've found. I can't say that really bothers me one way or another. At times, I think it's nice just to meet new people and, you know, do just random squatting. You know, a lot of my shooting is random squatting. But, you know, my parents and you know, my brother don't get to travel quite as much. So if we're shooting, like, say, the Seminole Cup or the state shoot or something like that, you know, almost always will squad with my brother, anything that's local. My parents don't really shoot, but at least they're to watch as well. So, you know, I think that's, you know, I think that's one of those things that it does make me more comfortable, no doubt. But I think you need to be able to do both because, you know, as much traveling as we do, nobody's going to be able to go with you every weekend. So I think it's good to be comfortable with both in a way.
What do you do to prepare for a big tournament?
You know, and here recently, you know, just being very busy, you know, obviously don't get to practice quite as much. But, you know, like you say, just preparing is a big deal. You know, from the last couple of years here, I found myself a lot, like, you know, it's just, you know, from something as simple as, you know, getting all my stuff loaded up, you know, getting my players on my trailer and all, you know, waiting last minute, anything rushed doesn't work so good. So if I kind of trying to get everything on a schedule and, you know, at least if I can, you know, before, especially before something big like a regional or, you know, before the nationals, you know, I try to shoot 1,000 targets, you know, in a couple weeks before if I can, you know, not that I always get to, but, you know, that's always what I go for. And just somewhat be prepared, get in maybe a day early and, you know, just get yourself settled in just to where you're not in a rush. I feel like it's really helped me at least.
Is there anything that you like to do the day of a shoot to get ready? Do you drink a lot of water? Do you make sure you eat breakfast? What do you do to prepare for a shoot on the day of?
You know, to be honest with you, obviously a lot of the shoots we go to in the summertime, I think that's a big part in staying hydrated, but, you know, I can't really say that there's anything in particular. You know, I went a long time, I was that guy, I felt like I needed to warm up a lot, like I get to a shoot and I needed to, you know, shoot a practice five stand or shoot a make or break or something like that. But I don't know, over time, you know, you mentioned Zach, you know, good friend of mine, and I couldn't tell you how much he's helped me this game. I wouldn't be here, you know, as far as I am without him. I tell you, right. He's been extremely good to me. But if you watch guys like him, you don't really see them doing that much of a warm-up, or, you know, you hardly ever see Zach on a make a break or a long bird. So I kind of thought, well, maybe there's something to that. And I've actually here recently not done as much warm-up. I try to feel like, you know, if I'm waiting to get to the shoot to get warmed up or kind of get some practice, then it's kind of too late. So I feel like once I get to the shoot, I'm more or less just trying to get there on time and, you know, just kind of get comfortable, if you will.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of too late to get warmed up there.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to go shoot one of the warm-ups because I feel like I waste all my good shots on the warm-up.
There you go. Use up all your hits. I know the feeling.
So what kind of shells are you shooting, Jasper?
I pretty much shoot the super handicaps. I like the Winchester, actually. You know, have been shooting them all along, even when I started. You know, maybe it was one of those things, shooting automatic when I was so young, I could shoot the little bit bigger shell with very little recoil. So I think that's really helped my shooting in a way too. You know, shooting the same shell for 10 plus years has really helped. You know, obviously I'll shoot the light handicaps and P-Task, we have to shoot 1 ounce, but primarily those super handicaps and 7.5 and 8.
That's a go-to shell for a lot of people. I shoot them. Not that that means anything. You know, it's the shell that Zach shoots. There's a lot of people. Cameron Hicks, he's shooting the 1250s. I mean, everybody that it seemed to gravitate towards those 1250s for some reason. And it's because they're a good shell. That's why they call them the American legend Winchester.
That's it. Definitely. The heat. Burn that heat.
Man, I'm telling you, the breaks with those versus a lot of other shells are just way better.
Oh, it is. There's no comparison. And to be honest with you, I've tried some of the other shells. And I just, to be honest with you, I can't get away from them. It's you know, one of those mental things when you get in your mind that you got the best, it's hard to trust anything else, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where my confidence is at, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what a lot of people say, you know. So you practice with the same shells you shoot with in tournaments.
So I do. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I'm able to. And that's another thing you're back to asking, you know, a couple years ago I actually wasn't. And not to say, you know, so many things I've changed here recently that have helped my shooting, but that is another thing, you know, just being able to practice with that same shell, you know, mainly just for finances, being able to here now, but you know, if you can find them now, but yeah. I definitely try to. I think that really helps, for sure, staying consistent.
All right, so let me ask you this question. It's about, we'll back up a little bit, about SCTP. What kind of advice would you give people that are in the SCTP right now and wanting to go into the NSCA and shoot well?
Do a good bit of both, you know, at least, and not to say that I'm perfect, but I did a fair amount of both there right from the beginning. I think sometimes, you know, I've seen with some of these shooters around, we'll just kind of stick with SCTP, and you kind of see them when they end up graduating and kind of, you know, then venture into the NSCA, the target's really tough. So compared to the SCTP targets, at least you kind of get frustrated, and a lot of the times you won't really see them as much. So I think kind of getting introduced to those little bit tougher targets early on, just so you don't get discouraged, because it's one of those things that I know it seems discouraging, but, you know, if you're in E-class and you're shooting up, you know, shooting 65, 75, it doesn't sound the best, but if you look at all the scores in E-class, that's about where they're going to be at most shoots. So, you know, just, you got to start somewhere, and don't get discouraged with a little bit tougher target. I think it's really good to do both.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't get discouraged. That's for sure. I think we've all been there.
Definitely.
I think I'm still there sometimes.
Me too. Me too.
Nah, yeah. Come on. So there seems to be a good bit of changes that you've made over the past couple of years to better your shooting. What was the one thing that you have changed that really stuck out or really made a difference in your mind? Was it the new gun stock? Was it shooting the same shells during practice? Was it traveling around to all the shoots in the country? What exactly was it that set this off?
You know, I guess just giving it that little bit of extra effort, if you will. Not that I always really cared about shooting, just, you know, I guess. And I don't know how other guys feel. I don't know how other guys feel about this, but for me, at least, I shot for so long, and I'm not gonna say I was getting discouraged, but, you know, I shot for about eight, you know, with, you know, not to say that I've won much, but at least the state championship this year. That was the 11th time that I've shot the state shoot, and I can think of a lot of years going home really frustrated. So, I guess when I finally, you know, at the nationals that year before, that kind of gave me that little bit extra push to where I finally kind of jumped up there, you know, at least in master, you know, kind of all these guys that I looked up to my whole life. I felt like, you know, these are the pros. I never catch these guys, you know, and not that I'm anywhere close to doing it now, but at least, you know, from time to time, I can jump up there somewhere close. And that just gave me a little bit more push, you know, to get better. If I feel like I'm that close, you know, if I always used being busy as an excuse, cause, you know, like we talked about earlier, being on a dairy farm or, you know, whatever I was doing at the time, you know, now with being at the gun club full time, I feel like I live there, you know, not getting to shoot as much, just make myself, even if, you know, luckily, you know, I've got a great family that really supports me, and, you know, it doesn't matter. I can tell you, I spent a lot of nights at Old Hudson, you know, 10, 12 o'clock at night, just shooting skeet targets, whatever it took just to feel like where I was comfortable, you know, giving that little bit of extra effort, which I know not everybody has the time for, but I think if you really want something, you kind of make the time. Whereas before, I kind of just use an excuse to say I didn't have enough time, you know, just work a little harder at it. I'd say that'd be the biggest thing.
Yeah. You got to want it, you know,
definitely.
You have to want to win. And, a lot of people do it just for fun, but if you want to be competitive, I think you just have to want it. You know, where are you going next? You say you travel everywhere. What all the shoots you going to?
Right, you know, and I'm lucky as of right now, at least, you know, able to go to most all of them. I think I'm going to be out in Phoenix for that first regional. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm thinking that'll be the next one I'll be at.
Yeah, so you're going to shoot the whole Winchester Championship Tour, all of them, all the regionals and U.S. Open and Nationals.
Right, I will. That's the plan.
So, what's your goal? What's your main goal in shooting?
Yeah, that's a good question, and to be honest with you, I was actually on the phone with Mike Long a couple of days ago, and he actually asked me that same question. You know, it kind of has changed a lot over the years because, you know, like we talked about, you know, I'm still pretty young, I feel like. And when I graduated high school, I had no other intention of ever leaving home. I felt like I would be, you know, my dad was kind of my hero in my eyes, and I felt like I wanted to be a dairy farmer. That's what I was here to do. But, you know, just luckily getting this opportunity into shooting, you know, I'd like to take it as far as I can. You know, I can, you know, looking up to guys like Mike and even say Zach Greta's down at Forest City or John Kent, those guys being able to run shoots and set targets, to me, I really am fortunate to be able, you know, be able to do some of both. I think it's really cool how someone like that, you know, runs that gun club in Savannah. And like you said, he can shoot with anyone, you know. He doesn't get a lot of time to leave, kind of like Mike or some of those other guys. So I think it's cool to do that side of it. You know, right now I'm very fortunate to be able to travel a lot and do all these shoots. So, you know, just see how far I can take it, you know.
I'm sure winning one of those big ones, like the U.S. Open or Nationals or something like that, and then making Team USA is probably on your list as well.
Yeah, that would always be the goal.
Yeah, you're on the right path, that's for sure. So who are your sponsors, Jasper?
You know, Reynolds would obviously be my biggest one. They're, you know, they're getting me there, and it's one of those things that, you know, I think I helped them quite a bit too. You know, with obviously we got a lot of property, so that's kind of the biggest thing. I'm, you know, we've got property actually at our gun club here now. You know, you could be right there on site and have access to it. But definitely Reynolds would be my biggest one. You know, obviously Mr. Jim with Promatic, I can't thank him enough. You know, he's been great. You know, been great. He's really taken care of me. Mm-hmm. Marlette Fine Arms, Ernest Marlette and Winston-Salem, North Carolina has been a big help. And, you know, Shirley Brothers and here recently, actually, Tyler Smith and Chip Welsh with Two Birds Gun Oil have really helped me out as well. So all those guys have really pushed me to keep going.
Cool. All right. Do you ever have plans to go back into dairy farming? Carry on the family business, or is that something you're gonna leave that up to your brother, or what you gonna do there?
You know, so to be honest with you, I could never imagine myself living anywhere but here, and it's easy to say that. You know, I'm lucky to have Reynolds here, you know, 5-10 minutes from my house. But, you know, so actually as having the dairy farmer, you know, my dad can correct me on this, I'm gonna say, you know, at least back in the 20s, you know, it's been in my family, but actually here in 17, you know, with some of the big dairies and even around here, you know, a lot of them up north, there's not that much demand for milk. So actually we shut the dairy down in 17, actually around the same time that I started at Reynolds. So, you know, my dad obviously still has a farm here and operates it. But it's, you know, without having the dairy cows, it's not like I'm tied here full time like he has been his whole life. You know, not anything wrong with that, but you know, he you know, it's kind of a lifetime commitment. He's lived here his whole life, you know. So I guess for me it's pretty cool that I kind of have this opportunity that I can kind of see where it takes me, you know. But luckily I've got a, you know, can't say enough about my family and how much they've supported me to go give this a run, you know.
Well, now I know why you always wore cowboy boots.
Yeah, yes,
I think you've got out of that here lately, haven't you?
You know, and Zach is well on that. I'd see him at a shoot and you tell me, you know, man, you need to feel the ground, you need to stand level. And for a long time I will say I was against it, but I tell you, that guy obviously knows what he's talking about. I started listening to him and I tell you, I really think it's helped.
Yeah,
stand flat.
Oh. Used to come over them 4-inch heels on them cowboy boots. You had a little problem, didn't you?
I'm telling you, made it harder on a driven target.
Oh, make you want to fall? Dead. Does it make you want to fall forward or backwards?
Forwards for sure. It would.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Interesting story. I think you're on the right track to being really good. Not that you're not good now, but I think you're on track to getting to where you want to get for sure.
Definitely, and thank you so much for having me on here. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, man, and I look forward to seeing you the next shoot.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Jasper. See you.